Hello there. Today is Monday, December 16th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Lori London in Washington. Coming up, a slim compromise and widespread disappointment as climate talks end in Madrid.
Never have I seen the almost total disconnection we've seen here at COP25 in Madrid between what the science requires and the people of the world demand and what the climate negotiators are delivering in terms of meaningful action.
Growing concerns over what North Korea may be up to. Also ahead, one of the biggest pop stars on the planet turns 30. It's all on today's International Edition. North Korea says it performed another test at its long-range rocket launch site. It comes just weeks ahead of the country's self-imposed end-of-year deadline for the U.S. to provide more concessions in nuclear negotiations and amid its threats to resume long-range missile or nuclear tests. North Korea has promised an ominous, quote, Christmas gift to the United States, saying it's up to Washington to decide what kind of present it will receive. Kim Jong-un has warned he may take a new path if the U.S. does not drop what he calls Washington's hostile policy by the end of the year. AP correspondent Ben Thomas reports.
North Korea says it's performed another successful test at its long-range rocket launch site. North Korea's Academy of Defense Science says what it describes as a crucial test was the second carried out at the Soe satellite launching ground in a week. Separately, the chief of the Army's general staff states North Korea has built up tremendous power, and the findings will be used to develop new weapons to allow the country to definitely and reliably counter U.S. nuclear threats. Analysts see the statements as an indication the tests likely involve technologies to improve intercontinental ballistic missiles that could potentially reach the U.S. North Korea has been trying to pressure the Trump administration for major concessions as Kim Jong-un's end-of-year deadline for nuclear negotiations approaches. Ben Thomas, Washington.
The United Nations' longest climate talks ever ended in Madrid Sunday, with countries agreeing to some carbon-cutting commitments next year, but postponing clear-cut decisions on key areas. Critics accuse some of the world's biggest polluters, including the United States, of blocking progress to address a growing climate crisis. Lisa Bryant has more for VOA from Paris.
Regretfully, after all the hard work that you have all done, we couldn't get to an agreement.
There was some progress and compromise. The European Union, with the exception of Poland, pledged this past week to reach net zero emissions by 2050. Delegates agreed to enhance emissions cutting plans, but they failed to agree on clear targets, rules for carbon markets, or financing for poorer nations to adapt and respond to climate change. That adds pressure for next year, when the 2015 Paris Climate Agreement begins to be implemented. Here's a reaction from Costa Rica's delegation.
We did not quite get there this time, but we have progressed. As many others have expressed, we're disappointed that we once again failed to find agreement.
The talks were backdropped by a series of alarming findings on the growing impact of climate change on our oceans, forests, and glaciers, even as greenhouse gases continue to rise to record levels. Critics accuse big emission countries like Brazil, Australia, and the United States, which is set to leave the climate pact next year, of blocking progress in Madrid. As the talks overshot their Friday deadline, frustrated activists dumped manure outside the conference center.
What we're seeing coming out of these talks right now should set off alarm bells.
David Waskow is International Climate Director for World Resources Institute, a Washington, D.C.-based environmental think tank.
The biggest emitters are not moving at the pace and scale that they need to get us on track for a safe world.
World Wildlife Fund also accused a number of big polluters of holding the talks hostage, saying their position sharply contrasted with science, real-life evidence, and rising calls from the street for more climate action, especially from young people. Earlier in the week, Swedish teen climate activist Greta Thunberg accused countries of clever accounting to get around emissions cuts. Speaking to delegates as the Madrid talks wrapped up, another youth leader, Sofia Mulvik from Norway, urged leaders to do more.
And youth are finished being your inspiration. Please use our solutions. take the right decisions for our future and for all the people suffering the consequences of climate change today.
She urged countries not to let young people down. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
As early as this week, President Donald Trump could become only the third U.S. president to be impeached by the House of Representatives if the democratically controlled House votes to impeach Trump for allegedly abusing his power related to his dealings with Ukraine. The case would move to the Republican-controlled Senate for an impeachment trial early next year, where the political landscape is much more favorable to the president. From Washington, VOA national correspondent Jim Malone has more on what a Senate trial would look like.
Senate will come to order.
In the Senate, a call for divine guidance from Chaplain Barry Black.
Lord, guide our senators to the right paths. Lead them beside still waters. Restore their souls.
The Senate has been down this road before. In 1999, President Bill Clinton was acquitted of perjury and obstruction of justice related to his affair with intern Monica Lewinsky. In 1868, President Andrew Johnson survived a Senate trial by a single vote after he was impeached for violating a congressional act protecting high government officials from removal.
There was absolutely nothing done wrong.
In the case of President Trump, House Democrats have accused him of abuse of power and obstruction of Congress by allegedly pressuring Ukraine to investigate a political rival, Democrat Joe Biden. Congressman Jerry Nadler chairs the House Judiciary Committee.
Our president holds the ultimate public trust. When he betrays that trust and puts himself before a country, he endangers the Constitution. He endangers our democracy, and he endangers our national security.
Trump has denied the allegations and is counting on Senate Republicans to vote to acquit him in an impeachment trial.
The radical left Democrats and the failed Washington establishment are trying to erase your votes, nullify the election, and overthrow our democracy. Not going to happen. Don't worry about it. I wouldn't lose too much sleep over it.
Congressional Republicans have remained loyal to Trump, with only a few senators voicing criticism so far, says Julie Pace.
It doesn't mean that they will vote to convict him, but it does mean that we may see a scenario in which you have at least some members of Trump's party expressing real concern about his interactions with Ukraine.
To remove the president from office, two-thirds of the Senate, 67 out of the 100 senators, would have to vote to convict Trump on one or more articles of impeachment. That's very unlikely, says Larry Sabato.
I don't see how in the world you could ever get 20 Republican senators to vote to oust Donald Trump. They might as well vote to oust and then announce their resignations, because they won't be serving for very long once they cast that vote.
No matter the outcome, a Senate impeachment trial will be a demanding test for U.S. democracy, says Democrat Mark Warner.
And I would hope and pray that all of my Senate colleagues will take a deep breath, no matter kind of where we've been so far, and step back and realize this is probably the most important constitutional responsibility we have.
Even if Trump survives a Senate trial, his actions on Ukraine will likely be a top issue in the 2020 presidential campaign. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
Here are some of the stories we are following at voanews.com. Turkey's president threatens to close two U.S. military bases. Protests in New Delhi against the new India citizenship law turn violent. Afghan officials are confirming U.S. troops' drawdown plans, and new challenges are forcing Kenya farmers to replace coffee crops. Find expanded coverage of these stories and much more at voanews.com and on our VOA mobile app. This is International Edition. Poaching is a major threat to the survival of forest elephants in Africa. VOA has reported on how the U.S. military is helping to train park rangers who are protecting or fighting to protect the elephants. VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb continues our coverage from the Central African country of Gabon, where park rangers are risking their lives in the counter-poaching fight.
It takes about 9 hours on bumpy dirt roads to get to Lopé National Park. Each bend a potential for peril or a chance encounter with Gabon's majestic animals. The very wildlife these park rangers, called eco guards, are defending.
Parce que pour faire un travail comme celui-là, ça demande beaucoup des efforts physiques, ça demande beaucoup de sacrifices et il faut beaucoup de motivation.
Nous avons le devoir aussi de pouvoir préserver cet écosystème, cette nature, cette biodiversité pour les générations futures comme ceux nos prédécesseurs, donc nos anciens parents.
Gabon is home to more forest elephants than anywhere else in the world. But over the last two decades, poachers have been killing these beautiful creatures by the tens of thousands.
What's at stake is the future of Gabon.
Gabon's Minister of Forest, Lee White, says elephant poachers have spilled across the borders to supply the illegal ivory trade. Elephant tusks sell for hundreds to thousands of dollars per kilo.
We're losing 2 tons of ivory a month. That's about 150 elephants a month.
And the more Gabon resists, the more dangerous the fight has become for the eco guards.
Until about 5 years ago, we'd never had any be shot at. Now it's commonplace.
Narcisse Baba Obame has survived 5 gunfights since becoming a ranger.
Quand vous rentrez, vous savez pas si vous allez sortir.
And the technical director of Gabon's national parks recently survived an assassination attempt during a patrol.
You know, it's a war. I am talking about a band of 20 to 50 people in the forest with AK-47, 4.5F rifle, 3.75 rifle. So it's complicated in the forest.
Officials say stopping crimes against the elephants will also stop the money fueling violence across the region.
And we can trace the poachers who are killing those elephants back to Boko Haram. If we don't beat the poachers, Gabon will go the way of CAR. We will lose our country.
And if Gabon loses control of its forest, this species of forest elephants will lose their last stronghold. Carla Babb, VOA News, Lopé, Gabon.
The spirit of Christmas is growing at the U.S. Botanic Garden in Washington, D.C. This year's annual holiday event features displays highlighting the beauty of America's public gardens. They include recreations of garden conservatories, fountains, and other sculptures made from plant-based materials. VOA's Deborah Block takes us on a tour to see the diverse gardens that include chugging toy trains.
At this garden exhibit, visitors are enjoying Thomas the Tank Engine, a train character in a children's storybook.
To see the trains, because you know it's going to be so magical and special for the kids.
The garden displays range from a tropical paradise to a desert landscape. In Florida, the Singing Tower is named for the sounds of its carillon bells. At the unique Science Pyramid in Denver's Botanic Gardens, people can learn about plants. They are made of more than 70 different types of plant materials.
They'll sometimes use leaves or tree bark for the walls, and then different sticks and acorns for a lot of the ornamentation around the windows and doors.
This first-time visitor was fascinated by the craftsmanship.
I'm really surprised, like, to see all these buildings that they make out of plants, and all the botanical gardens from across the United States that contribute to this exhibition. It's really, really nice.
The newest piece in the show this year is on loan from the Biltmore Estate in North Carolina. This house with gardens was built in the late 1800s and today is a tourist attraction.
It's the largest estate ever built in America, but also a very large, impressive model that took over 2,500 hours to build.
The U.S. Botanic Garden also features a beautiful 8-meter-tall Christmas tree, one of the largest indoor Christmas trees in Washington. and thousands of colorful poinsettias, known as the Christmas flower, surround recreations of Washington landmarks, also made from plants.
We display 13 different National Mall buildings and monuments, some well-known ones like the Capitol Building and the Washington Monument, the White House and the Library of Congress.
This visitor was impressed by the imagination that went into the exhibition.
The center of the appeal is that everything is organic, everything is made from something botanic, everything's living, and it really kind of brings new meaning to saying the Christmas spirit is alive.
Alive for everyone during this holiday season. Deborah Block, VOA News, Washington.
And you're listening to International Edition, back in a moment.
The lyrics could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic, etc.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on The Voice of America, Mondays through Fridays, 0900 and 2000 Universal Time.
With David Bandy.
Voices, we're talking about the news and issues you're talking about,
sharing stories of development and growth across Africa, around the world, and in our lives. Topics that inform, empower,
and change the rules.
It's time for Our Voices with me, Haiti Adams Fitzpatrick,
and Hadiza Kiari,
and Ayan Bior,
and Orion Itangi Shaka.
Join us on Facebook at VOA Our Voices.
It's time for Our Voices.
VOA's International Edition continues, well, with a look at new movie releases. Jumanji, The Next Level, starring Dwayne Johnson and Kevin Hart, brought in $60.1 million in the U.S. and Canada to break a three-day record for a comedy in December. A week before it opened in North America, it debuted in 18 international countries where it made $52.5 million. Joining us to talk more about the latest movies is Vegas film critic Jeffrey K. Howard. Jeff, before we get to Jumanji, let's talk about Bombshell, another new film that didn't even make the top 10. And that is, of course, about the scandal that uncovered a hidden culture at Fox News and in part was part of that Me Too movement.
It stars Charlize Theron as Megyn Kelly, and this was during the Trump election, during the 2016 election, about her doing interviews and about how the conservative network really started and Roger Ailes started really not just defending conservative principles and reporting, but also becoming the network of Trump. And everything that came down after Megyn Kelly was doing interviews with Trump and all these different things, and I'm not going to repeat some of the disgusting things that President Trump said about her during the campaign, but she went to them saying, look, you know, I'm a reporter. What's going on here? Why is he attacking me personally? Why am I the story? And it just, you know, she decided, you know, she was going to stand up for her principles. And, of course, she got fired. And not only that, also Gretchen Carlson with sexual harassment suits, she got fired. So the movie really explores specifically Roger Ailes, played brilliantly by John Lithgow in all this heavy suit makeup, about the sexual harassment and the horrible working conditions for women in the Fox News network. Now, the movie kind of implies that it was all kind of self-contained. It was all Roger Ailes is doing. You know, the Murdochs didn't really know about it, and when they did find out about it, they acted swiftly, as we know, as history has shown us. But we have incredible performances from Nicole Kidman playing Gretchen Carlson. We have Charlize Theron playing Megyn Kelly, who does, I'm not going to say an impression, but she just does a dead-on caricature of Megyn Kelly. But listen to this, Lori. The one that steals the whole movie is Margot Robbie as this bright-eyed intern who wants to work at Fox News, who wants to be the next reporter. It's not just any network. She wants Fox. She's been watching it her whole life.
Okay.
And she has this incredible clandestine meeting with Roger Ailes, who says, look, not only if you want to work here, you have to prove it to me that you want to work here.
Uh-oh.
So there's some really disgusting moments in this movie.
Are you saying when he said you need to prove it to me that was implying that something pertaining to maybe sexual favors?
Absolutely. And without giving any spoilers away, it's just disgusting that the working culture for women around there. And then also when all these stories broke, you know, when Megyn Kelly started staying her ground, the network was split. I mean, talk about a toxic working atmosphere, saying, look, Roger's the best, you know, you're lying, you know. So all these camps started breaking up before she could even know what to do, you know. So the movie's intense. The movie moves along at a quick pace, and it just shows you just how brave these women are to stand up to that toxic culture. So it's in a powerful film, and it's going to be remembered around Oscar time easily.
Is it based on a true story, or is it sort of a dramatic...
Oh, no. No, news, it's all based on true events. Absolutely. So as you're watching this, all this unfolded. They couldn't get any other women to come forward and say, oh yeah, this happened to me too. And then once Megyn Kelly did, the floodgates opened. And then all of these lawsuits and all these women going back saying, yeah, I was harassed too. No, Roger did this, Roger did that. The man who defined, you know, Fox News was, you know, thrown out by the Murdochs after all of these allegations came forward from all the disgusting behavior he caused over the last, you know, 10, 15 years.
Wow. Okay. Well, if folks are in for are in more of a mood for a lighter film, we've got In Jumanji, The Next Level.
Yeah. Here we got the sequel 2 years after the original one. Welcome to the Jungle was a surprise hit. Everyone loved the original film with Robin Williams, but The Rock really took it in a new direction a couple years ago, where he made it a video game, and him and these teenagers got sucked into the game and became their avatars. You know, so you have a wimpy teenage kid who's playing The Rock, and you have Jack Black playing a cheerleader type character. So it was really fun to see this breakout movie. It made a fortune for Sony Pictures. So now we have the sequel. We're back inside the game again with the same characters, but this time we brought along Danny DeVito and Danny Glover. Can you imagine that? Who don't understand what they're doing in the video game. They got drawn into it by some sort of weird magic, and it's about them having this whole new adventure. So there's monkey attacks on bridges. There's desert dune buggy chases. I mean, this is what, you know, The Rock delivers best. It's fantastic action for the holidays with lots of laughs, lots of love, and Kevin Hart is back. He steals the whole movie this time around. I think he's absolutely hysterical doing the Danny Glover impression all the way through, and to see The Rock do Danny DeVito, it just cracks you up the whole movie. So this has got a built-in audience. It's going to be a big holiday hit, and The Rock delivers.
All right, Jeffrey K. Howard. You can find his full video reviews at VegasFilmCritic.com. Thanks so much, Jeff.
My pleasure.
Taylor Swift celebrated her 30th birthday Friday with a star-studded party and live performance in New York City's annual Jingle Ball concert in Madison Square Garden. Swift, along with the Jonas Brothers, Camila Cabello, and lots of others, sang some of her biggest songs, as well as her new Christmas Tree Farm and Welcome to New York. Her celebration also included a cat-themed cake. Swift is well known to be a cat lover and a cat mom. And you've been listening to International Edition. That's it for our show today, but you can always find us at voanews.com. We thank you so much for joining us, and thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Jimmy Cook. I'm Lori London in Washington. Have a wonderful day. I'd love to breathe summers now, honey.
this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Vietnam's development over the past 30 years has been remarkable. Through political and economic reforms under Duong Moi, enacted in 1986, Vietnam graduated from being one of the poorest countries in the world to a lower middle-income country. Today, Vietnam has one of the most dynamic and fastest-growing economies in Southeast Asia. Nonetheless, Vietnam continues to grapple with economic and health challenges, from unfriendly business practices to unsustainable exploitation of natural resources, to energy demand growing faster than output, to HIV/AIDS, tuberculosis, and emerging pandemic threats. The U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, and Vietnam have a long history of cooperation, beginning in 1989, when USAID launched programs benefiting Vietnamese with disabilities. Since then, USAID and the government of Vietnam have partnered on a host of issues, including economic growth and governance, civil society, health, including HIV/AIDS, countering wildlife trafficking, and disaster assistance. In early November, USAID Deputy Administrator Bonnie Glick visited Vietnam to meet with Vietnamese officials, discuss progress made on these cooperative projects, and reinforce USAID's commitment to supporting sustainable economic growth and development in Vietnam. For example, Deputy Administrator Glick commended the government of Vietnam on its progress in improving its business and investment climate with USAID support and in transitioning the national HIV response to domestic financing. USAID supports this effort under the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, or PEPFAR. Vietnam has also been working towards stopping the illegal transshipment of Chinese goods through Vietnam to disguise their Chinese origin and thus avoid U.S.-imposed tariffs. During her visit, Deputy Administrator Glick announced USAID's new $14 million urban energy security activity, which will help advance distributed energy solutions in a number of Vietnamese cities. She also joined Vietnamese officials to mark the next step to support Vietnam's efforts to clean up dioxin contamination at Bien Hoa Air Base. As Deputy Administrator Glick said earlier this year at the U.S. Institute of Peace, USAID is committed as a development agency not only to partner with Vietnam today, but also to ensure that the Vietnamese people have the tools necessary to address ongoing and future challenges in a sustainable way.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.